Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the American Disease Project, hosted by celebrity consultant Valerie Denise Jones. Join us Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. Now, welcome your host, Valerie Denise Jones.
Hi, hello, hello, hello. This is Valerie Denise Jones, as he stated. We are experiencing some really bad weather out here, guys. So if I seem distracted for a second, it's because we're getting some thunder and I see lightning, some lightning, and then it's really raining here. But I hope that my internet is going to maintain so I can make it through today's show, because we do have a very, very interesting, a show I'd like to label under edutainment, as opposed to entertainment or just straight, you know, education, because I think that you're going to have some fun with this, especially if you know about the world of medical marijuana or industrial hemp and dot, dot, dot. I can't wait to bring German on, because I don't know. I have a couple of people who do smoke and do use it for whatever reason. So they're here on the board, and I'm actually happy. Because, I definitely need some help. You guys probably can sense I'm very uncomfortable right now, because I don't want to say the wrong thing or bring the wrong attention to it. So why don't we just do this? Why don't we just get to the commercial, right? And when we come back, we're going to bring in the co-host of the show and introduce today's guest. All right, guys, I'll see you on the other side of the break.
We could have tuned the performance suspension of the Cadillac CTS Sport Sedan on any closed course. But we chose the tight, punishing turns of Germany's legendary Nürburgring instead. Because at Cadillac, we don't just take corners. We take on the world with a car Motor Trend calls a bold, savvy, uncompromising showpiece. And that Edmunds.com elevates to top-tier status. The exhilarating Cadillac CTS Sport Sedan, now with premium care maintenance standard for 4 years or 50,000 miles. We don't just make luxury cars, we make Cadillacs.
For those of you who still love to read a good book, the godfather of urban fiction, Omar Tyree, who gave us many urban classics like Fly Girl, Just Say No, Leslie, For the Love of Money, Diary of a Groupie, Sweet St. Louis, What They Want, and The Last Street Novel. Now he brings to us an original ebook and video web series called The American Disease, available now on Amazon.com. The American Disease by Omar Tyree. Find out who's inflicted, who's safe, who is contagious, and who's not. The American Disease by Omar Tyree on Amazon.com. It's definitely trending.
All right, guys, welcome back to the American Disease Project, the radio show. As I mentioned before, today's going to be very, very interesting for me, because I did study, I am prepared, but there's just a lot I don't know, so I can't wait to bring in today's guest. So at this time, what I want to do is go on and open up the mic at the co-host of this show, Mr. Omar Tyree. How are you doing today?
Hey, I always got it on mute, and I'm jumping on here. I'm doing great, and we always having good shows now. We got another show that we're going to rock and roll with today, and you know I always heat it up, so I'm going to let everybody say what they say, and then I'll go ahead and heat it up, because that's what we do on the American Disease Project show with Valerie Denise Jones.
Yeah, so we're both in Carolina. You're not too far from me. Is it raining over there where you are?
Well, you
Omar,
asking me
is it
if
raining?
It's raining?
Yeah, you're the only person on the line with me. Is it raining over there? Where
well,
you
right are? In the same city I'm in. You in North Carolina.
No, that doesn't mean, like, it's raining on your side of town. Like, we don't live right bored each other.
Well, you
you're 20
you
something minutes for me.
It was
yeah.
just raining and it stopped. It was just stopped.
Okay.
So it was like that drizzle. I think they call it that. That's when the devil's beating his wife. When it's raining and stop, and the sun's out and it's raining and stop. That's what we used to call it back in West Philadelphia in the hood. The devil's beating his wife. So that right now, the devil and his wife are fighting because it's raining and then it stop, and it's raining and then stop, and the sun is out. That's how it looks on my side of Charlotte. I don't know what it looks on your side.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So like I said, everybody, just say your prayer. Because we got to get through this show today. So, all right, so let's talk about today's guest because I want to go on and get right to it. I'm just going to read a synopsis of his bio as much as I possibly can because I want to bring him on and then ask him a few questions as to what was written. But German Shannon L. is the co-founder of Cannabis Collective Media Incorporated, the CAN Experience Health and Wellness Tour and Brand Ambassador for the Minorities of Medical Marijuana. M4MM is the acronym. So, guys, make sure that you look for that. A national nonprofit cannabis and industrial hemp advocacy organization focused on breaking barriers and opening doors for diversity and equity. And it says here, for the past 20 years, he has practiced a holistic approach to personalized nutrition, exercise, daily fasting, and a plant-based diet. He is a strong nature enthusiast and advocates for natural medicine. In spare time, he enjoys time in the garden, fishing, cinema, photography, and chefing up new superfood potions, natural body products, and hemp-infused edibles. And I swear I am always off during applause button, but I'm going to, at this time, my board got kind of shifted a little bit. I don't know what's going on.
Well,
but, German, is that you, 904-962?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on.
Hey.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm on board
right.
The American Disease Project. I love it.
Right. And I want to start off by saying thank you so much for putting it up as a banner on your Facebook page. Like, I tweeted. I shared that with a couple people. I was so impressed. I've never had a guest do that for me. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, good brother.
Well, that's a part of the manifestation. That's what it's all about. You know, it's about taking the best that we can of that energy and giving something back, you know.
So I want to first ask you, because I grew up hearing this, like, all the time. My grandmother and aunt would always claim that they're Geechee. So can you tell me, what's your definition of a Geechee?
Well, I'm not sure if I mentioned just a Geechee. You know, when you say Geechee,
like
that was a fighting word back in the day. Geechee was a fighting word. You call somebody Geechee, it's on. But if you are aware of Gullah Geechee, see, Geechee is a language. It's the evolution of a culture of people who had to come together from different cultures from throughout West Africa, from Guinea-Bissau to Sierra Leone, all the way up Senegal, Morocco. I mean, it's really made up of people from all over who had to come together after post-Civil War during the Reconstruction period in the South. And from North Carolina all the way down to St. Augustine and beyond, really to Miami in Miami, all the way down to Peru and different areas, we spoke a certain tongue that was coastal, like you would identify with Swahili in Africa. That was our coastal tongue of America. And it connects us as an indigenous people to other cultures, be it your five civilized tribes who spoke a certain tongue, the Cherokee, the Creek. But really, it's a language on one end, and then it's an identification of our indigenous culture as far as the food ways, the things that we ate, the music, the sound, the beat, the rhythm. Those are all byproducts of not just Geechee, but Gullah Geechee. And you'll hear different people say it different ways, but it's really identifying that we're just as an island people as someone in Trinidad, or Tobago, Barbados, excuse me.
Right. And I want to, I forgive you for this next part that I'm going to admit. As you graduated from Florida State, you know, I'm a Gator. It's cool. It's all right.
It's all good. It's all good. You know, I root for the Gators after, you know, we were, you know, if they make it and we don't, I root for the Gators. But otherwise,
right.
You know.
It's all Florida love, right? Yeah, but it says here that you have a Bachelor of Science degree in Ethnic Studies pre-law. I found that very interesting, and intercultural communications. Did any of this help you, you know, in this journey? And we're going to get into your resume because I know that you are the co-founder of said things that I said earlier. But any of your background kind of assist you, you know, as your journey to found a collective media?
Absolutely. It's all a collective in my world. It's a network. It's a community network. If we don't exist based on the we concept as opposed to the I, that's a Western theology that was passed down for generations, a philosophy, an approach to life. And we've adopted that, and we take that on with the mentality that we ourselves can be successful. But as a people, we have to create systems that support us on a broader level. And I've always kind of identified things that came from a holistic, a community perspective. So you have Blacksonville Community Network. You have Cannabis Collective. You have a Can Experience. These are all things that manifest an experience between people when we put our energy and our time and our thoughts together. So they're well-contrived methods to deliver a message throughout different media and different channels to reach people, and that's all a part of my academia, if you will, you know, going to Florida State. I spent some time at Morehouse College, Spelman, on an off-campus exchange program, and as well as Ohio Wesleyan, you know, all private school up in Ohio. So I came out of 5 schools in 4.5 years, with the background and what you said, African and ethnic studies, and those did contribute to understanding the future of where communication is going, not where it's at. And that's how we can rebuild ourselves into those things that are relevant today. You with me? Are we here?
Yeah.
Mic check.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
The American Disease Project.
Hello, can you not hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, we hear you.
I'm making sure y'all are live.
Everybody listening.
No,
quiet.
We're good.
Okay.
No, I was listening because I was trying to give you a chance to before I jump right into the subject matter, give you a chance to talk about your background.
You got to affirm it, Valerie. Yeah, right on. Yeah.
Yeah, I got two people today.
Take it back
we got
to the
Omar
church.
And then Philo agreed to help out today, too. So let's get into, because I'm going to open up the lines here in a little less than 15. I want to ask you some questions, but let's talk about the fact that you co-founded the Cannabis Collective Media. Can you explain that to us and I don't know, should I break it down into 3 tasty bites, meaning you being an ambassador for the minorities of medical marijuana, and then that versus the Can Experience Health and Wellness Tour versus the Cannabis Collective Media Incorporated that you founded? How should we do that?
I think we should just really just go back to how you introduced medical marijuana.
Okay.
Industrial hemp and hemp versus cannabis, because basically we're dealing with a re-education, a reprogramming. All have suffered from the war on drugs, socially, but mentally. And that was a byproduct of reefer madness. So when you think about we've been under a spell for over almost 75, 80, maybe almost 100 years, just as it relates to health and wellness, and the very idea of what is disease, dis-ease, It's a mental side that starts with our very selves. And we've all suffered from that mental side based on the foods that we choose to eat on a daily basis, which has caused us to lose sight of the most important component of the day, the most important essential process of the day, which is waste management, getting rid of the garbage that we either consume mentally based on the music we heard, or the horror film we watched the night before we went to sleep. You know, these are all things that I relate more so to understanding not just cannabis, but getting back to the basis of agriculture, which is the essential element of civilization. When you think of all great civilizations, they started based on agriculture. They started with the very idea that they had enough capacity in the infrastructure in this tropical environment, right in North Carolina, right in Atlanta, Georgia, right in Eatonton, right in Jacksonville, to build a civilization because of the tropical environment near the water. Simple. And if you don't have access to that type of culture and understanding, if you don't put your hands in the dirt, you know, get back to the basics of things, you lose sight of your vision and your focus and your purpose in life. So this is how we're approaching cannabis. We stoners. How are you an indigenous people and you're a stoner? You smoking and get high. Instead
right.
of smoking
yeah.
and understanding the medicinal effects of what you're consuming or using vape or pain cream, there's so many byproducts to this one plant. Just like the indigenous cultures maximize corn, we will maximize hemp and this plant tomorrow. But it starts with re-education. So.
Yeah, I get that. Because on your site, I watched a video where a guy, he interviewed President Obama, and he talked, he opened it. You know, he was kind of aggressive because he said that he wanted to, I guess, make a point because he said that he thought that it was wrong for Obama to state that that consuming or smoking marijuana is a bad habit, but no worse than drinking. I guess he didn't like the fact that he equates, you know, one with the other, and he said that that kind of contradicted what was on the Obama's policy on the website regarding its policy, and also the website of the National Drug Control, the association. And so I wanted to, because I didn't quite get a chance to research this before we get any further, they mentioned that it's considered a Schedule One narcotic, along with heroin and ecstasy. So can you touch on that before I delve any deeper? Because
Absolutely.
Obama agreed with you regarding the abuse of the, you know, that. And then, of course, you know, issued a health challenge. But can you explain that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the most critical federal legal issues that we have to be informed about and we have to be active about today. Because hemp and cannabis are currently Schedule One drugs, just like heroin and many of the opioids, the things that are derived that are also classified as Schedule One. And this plant is healing people every day, every hour, every minute, every second. This plant is doing its thing. So what we don't understand is that there's a reason, you know, they're Schedule One because the federal government has a patent on hemp and cannabis and its many different chemical compounds, CBN, CBG, CBD. These are all things we have to become educated with. These are byproducts of, chemical compounds within the plant cannabis that produce cannabinoids that coincide with the cannabinoid receptors within our body, because we have an endocannabinoid system that God or your creator or whoever you believe in, excuse me, put inside mm-hmm. of us as we were formed from dust. We have cannabinoid receptors, and when, matter of fact, every living thing with a spine, even a seahorse, has an endocannabinoid system. And the system is responsible for the homeostasis and balance that gives us the breath of life, breathe, or the consciousness to take a second and breathe. And it's very critical because it's the breath that we lose sight of that is puts us on the course of all of the stress, anxiety, and fear that leads to inflammation and other chronic pain into disease.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say the American Disease Project, yeah, it's a project, mm-hmm. all right. It's a
right.
project. Right.
Right. Totally get that. And I appreciate you explaining that. And I want to take it a different direction, but what I'm going to do is I won't be selfish. Guys, you're listening to the American Disease Project, as you just stated. And the number to call in if you're tuning in via your computer is 323-642-1143. 323-642-1143. And if you're on the board and you'd like to chime in, please press the number 1 so that I know that you would like to ask a question or make a comment. But at this time, I am going to open up another mic. Philo the Great is on the line, and I know he knows a lot about here's a little sound bite of German. I'm just going to make you laugh. This is his
smoke
intro.
Weed every day.
That's what we play when Philo's on the line.
Welcome
Philo the Great, who is also one of the founders of this network. I don't know, Omar, Philo, do you guys have questions, comments before I proceed? Because like I said, I feel like a fish out of water, but I am learning a lot of stuff. Like I'm taking like hella notes. So, yeah, guys, do you have any questions before I get into fasting and exercising and opioids and the criminal penalty issues and all that stuff?
No,
I'm
just listening, man. I know, you know, a lot about it because I indulge in it. And I must, by me indulging, I got to know about what I indulge in. So I'm just waiting till we get
Amen.
To a point where we can go back and forth because it is different types of, it's different strands and it's different
mm-hmm.
types. You know what I'm saying? You got sativas, you got indicas. And me, I'm a sativa lover because
mm-hmm.
I like to be and still walk and still not be sluggish and sleepy. Anybody know anything about this wonderful plant? Then you know that indicas really, you know, are more heavier on you. They're more of a downer than an upper. And sativa-based cannabis is more of an upper. It keeps you going, keeps you up, so to say. So I'm just want to get into it because like the gentleman said, the guest said, there is different types of chemical compounds within this one plant, such as the CBD, which they're trying to right now legalize in the NBA. Bleacher Report has NBA players, former NBA players, sitting around smoking cannabis, asking them to league, and they put legalize, but they use league in front of it for the NBA. And how ironic this is, cannabis is labeled a black drug, man, and like the gentleman said, it's a Schedule I drug, which means it holds the same penalty charge as the heroin, the opioids. But it became like this from, you know, this country, the white people in this country, for us as black individuals. So from my research, it came because white women would get high and want to sleep with black men. Now they put the Schedule I on it. So we can you know, dispute that however you want to do, but do your history, do your homework. But that's where we are right now. And certain states legalize it, and Obama did sign a party, so to say, an act where the feds are not supposed to step in to the states, but Trump's guy tried to get that turned as soon as he stepped in, so I don't believe he was successful in that, so to say. But myself, I indulge in it because I enjoy it. I'm a creator. I write music. I like using my brain. So it stimulates my mind and complements my creativity. So, yeah, man, I enjoy this show. And I'm just here just waiting to get further more into it and talk about its true benefits and why it is needed to me, or why it should be legalized.
Right, yeah, because that is one of my questions for you later on. German, I wanted to ask you, is legalization a panacea? And so right now what I'm going to do, Omar, do you have any questions or comments before I open the line?
Well, I didn't have any questions. I just had a comment. I was out in California last year in June, and, man, they got stuff all out there, all kinds of different strands. So I brought some back home. And my Caribbean friend, he was like, man, this medical weed, this is the bomb. This is, you know, so when you're dealing with more medical weed, I guess they don't have as many, you know, strands of, you know, like nonsense in it. It's just more pure. So now you get the real stuff in there, you know what I mean? So my buddy was blown away. You know, I don't know the difference in it because I'm not no expert in it, you know what I mean? So I know it can make you feel different ways. It smells different ways. It looks different ways. But, yeah, you know, it's something that's from the earth, and, you know, we've been doing it for a long time. Everybody don't do it every day and whatnot. You don't have to do it, you know, to be creative and all that like some people think. But I think it's interesting that, you know, you can have so many different strands that can do so many different things with the purity that it has when it's legal like that. And so it's just a matter of time, man, before they open it up and say, all right, look, we can't stop this stuff. Let's go ahead and, you know, figure out how we're going to work it.
Okay. Good. Good comment. So right now I'm going to open the line. I'm going to take one or two calls here. I'm going to open the line up 904-775. You got some background noise and you're live. Hello?
Yo, it's your boy EJ. How everybody doing?
Hey, EJ. Are you wearing a shirt?
Not at all. You know me. No shirt, EJ, on the line. And I just want to take a minute to say to that gentleman who was speaking on the marijuana.
His name is German.
Palady.
German.
Mr. German,
EJ,
where
his name
can
is
I?
Yeah.
German, where can I contribute to your campaign for president, sir? Because I heard you say that God said I should be smoking weed. I heard it. See, I'll be listening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You should consume cannabis in all of its forms in as many ways as you can, my brother. On top of your skin, in your skin, in your mouth, all over, because it's a plant.
Don't get me started,
because
I go get a pound and I just lay in it, bro.
Just lay in it.
I go get a pound and grind it up and just roll around in it, bro. I'm telling you.
With no shirt on. With no shirt on.
With no shirt. No shirt. He said get it in my skin.
Yeah. But in reality, how
butt naked and weed. Okay.
Be?
Gotcha. I feel guilty. Am I wrong for referencing it as weed? Is the new term cannabis?
You are.
Okay. All right. So
yeah,
as soon
you're
as you're
wrong,
done with him, I want to ask. We want you to explain to me why I should no longer refer to that. But, okay, continue. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's your preference to speak as you choose, so you know, to be honest. But at the same time, it's cannabis for a reason. You know, everything, there's a root language, a root mother tongue to our language. It's ka. Ka is life. You know, na. Ya. Yaba. Those are the expressions of life. So we're dealing with a plant that expresses the duality of life. It can heal, it can regenerate, and then it can also fight off toxins and bacteria and inflammation. So the use case is very important. The brother said he go lay in it. Hey, I'm all about it, but don't lay in it too long. It might, you know, turn into something else. because
how long? See, now that's dangerous. How long should I stay down there, brother?
Well, I put it this way: how long should you smoke cannabis a blunt back to back? How many would you smoke in a row?
Now that's a trick question, sir.
Okay.
It depends on if it's 420 or not.
Am I arguing with the wife? Is my job treating me right? You know, like that.
Well,
that depends,
well, I'll put it this way. If you're just stressed out, if your day just, you know, is about, man, I woke up this morning and I ain't got $300 to pay my rent, you know what I'm saying? Then you don't need to smoke back to back. You take your puff too, and then, you know, hey, you go deal with it and move about your day. But if you're waking up with some chronic pain in your knee that you fell and, you know, fell in the leg, bumped your knee in the cracks or whatever, and it's swollen up for 3 weeks, you might smoke longer. But the plant allows you, this is the difference with hemp versus cannabis. Hemp represents all aspects of the plant itself in terms of leaves. The strain, the leaves, the root of the plant, all of the stems, the seeds, all of those products is what makes hemp. And that's what the government has legalized in all 50 states, as long as it's produced at a ratio of 0.03% THC. THC is one of the 120, and there's many more. They just haven't so-called discovered chemical compounds in the plant that it can be used for a different medicinal purpose. Some people who may have autism may use a different chemical compound like the CBG or so, you know, which helps maybe with mobility and different aspects to what is needed. It's your intention for a thing that brings about the healing. And that's the simplicity that I'm trying to relate. We're so stuck on, you know, the illegality of it and the criminology of it because we impact it most. But at the same time, we choose to know what we know, right? So the reality is this plant can heal you and keep you balanced in so many ways. And the hemp is used to extract CBD, which is more so the most popular thing that now 7-Eleven has just made nationwide in the last 48 hours. They'll be selling CBD when you go to the store. The same products that we're buying retail at $180 for, call me. Call certain sources. And again, these are products that you could be in the wellness and education thereof legally. But we're so used to going to Walmart and buying our can of string beans. And we can't tell our baby where the plant came from, where the can came from. So I want to make a claim, man. I don't want to go all the way out there, but these are the realities of the disease, the American Disease Project.
Thank you for that drop. I appreciate the love. Totally appreciate that. All right, Ed.
I do want to address one thing I left out.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but I do want to go back to what you were trying to relay with alcohol and the parallel of how the gentleman was debating in terms of Obama saying about marijuana. RegulateFlorida.org. Regulate Florida. There's an organization that is fighting in Florida to regulate cannabis like alcohol. Now, there's a big debate around that as well, but at the same time, the whole purpose of it is that if you can allow an 18-year-old to walk in the store or a 21-year-old and drink beer or whatnot until they fall out, why are you preventing them from proper education and access to things that are being sold right now in Trader Joe's, in 7-Eleven, and at your corner store, you know? But at the same time, if you get caught selling it, if you get caught smoking outside your house or riding in the car, same plant, your ass going to jail. And that's the problem, what we're fighting with Minorities for Medical Marijuana, which is a national organization that I'm one of the executive team leaders, and I handle a lot of the branding and messaging, is to we've set ourselves up across the country to help fight decriminalization across the board, meaning in Tampa, if you were to get caught smoking cannabis, you would get a $100 fine. Excuse me, if you got caught with an ounce or less, unless you were, you would only have a $100 fine and wouldn't take you to jail. If you get caught a second time, $200, third time, $300. In Jacksonville, you're four times more likely than a black female, anybody else, to be arrested for marijuana, when opioids is what's killing us and why the city is suing Big Pharma. So these are the disparities that we educate about, and we are trying to re-educate our people so that we can have the same opportunities that are transforming Oakland, California right now with its equity program, which affords an ex-felon to get the first right of opportunity to enter the cannabis business and make money as a business owner or a hired employee. We are so far away from reality comes economic development and building, rebuilding ourselves in our home when it, you know, and the opportunities. And it's just due to misinformation. And that's why I'm really happy to have this type of platform that, really is developing a parallel so that we can understand the disease behind our true healing. Because it's a parallel that your disease is your healing and your healing is your disease, depending on what you take ownership of.
Right. Okay. Okay. I do have a question, but I won't be stingy. One second. I'm going to open the line up now. I've got a 202-210-202-210. You're live.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Hi,
this is Shelley.
Like
how are you all doing?
Yes, it is.
How are you all doing?
Hi.
You know, we had our governor approve the marijuana medical bill 2 years ago. And now we have a CBD shop across the street, which sells the hemp oils and creams and vapes and things like that. My issue is I can't find a doctor that will prescribe the medical marijuana for my condition, because I had just refused. I'd rather go through pain and do less than to have to worry about the side effects of a pain pill. And so I, you know, with the, and now I'm finding out this is a Schedule I drug, and they're only really approving it for some medical conditions, and not all, like lupus, fibromyalgia, arthritis, those type of conditions that a majority of the people have. I'm not trying to get high. I'm just trying to have a natural way that would not damage my liver, my kidneys, or my heart, or blood vessels.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's
what
just, you know, I went to cannabis.org, and there's still not a doctor within the city of Cleveland which actually prescribes this. And then yet your insurance companies don't even pay for it. We have to pay for that ourselves.
So, German, the answer to your question is she's in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. She's in Cleveland. Okay. Yeah, the laws are different. Every state has different laws in terms of how the plant can be used for medicinal purposes. But if you check the regulations frequently, they change month to month because the science is supporting a wide array of illnesses and ailments for the use of medicinal purposes. So, for example, a veteran who suffers from PTSD or who suffers from chronic pain due to an injury and also has PTSD may not have symptoms of the chronic pain as much, but their PTSD is more prominent, right? So you have us, you know, and I say us meaning more people who are of ethnic background who suffer from diabetes. We got high blood pressure. We got heart disease. We got you name it. And when you compound those ailments, generationally, it sets in more. So you have to really know your doctor enough to explain your condition and so that you can understand your true condition, not just a diagnosis. And these are the things that lead to, you know, widening opportunities for your access to the plant. But again, it starts with the education. Now, as far as accessing doctors, that's why the Can Experience Health and Wellness Tour exists. In our state of Florida, I've produced a multi-city, month-to-month event along with a partnership with Northeast Florida Normal, which is a national agency that's been out for over 50 years supporting public policy and the regulations surrounding cannabis. And, you know, these are things that it's okay to go across that street, to be honest, and to talk to those individuals who are supplying that hemp, because you have to become more educated about what you need. And the need is written right on the bottle, because the real products will tell you the last time that they were tested in a science, in a testing lab for that product. And then when you purchase that product, if that label or the information on that website does not reflect the last 30 days or 45 or 60 days, then you can rest assured you might not be getting the authentic. That don't mean it won't help you. That means that there are some essential oils, some coconut oil, some of this, some of that, some of this, some of that, which could be good for certain reasons, but the more you add, the more diluted, right? So you want that organic, that real, that authentic. And that's what I try to help people with.
Yes, that it is organic, and they do have a pamphlet for it. And he told me that it was hemp and that it didn't have the THC value to it, but it does relieve the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. So the pain cream goes up from 100 milligrams to 300. It varies, and depending on your condition, you may prefer a higher milligram of CBD. I mean, they have CBD, they have eye drops, people. I mean, this plant, hemp will be in your home like ketchup is in every house in the next 3 years. You will remember.
So I'm definitely, it's going to satisfy a lot of people who say it's good for my glaucoma.
It might be your home, not just in your home. It may be your home because you can build
mm-hmm.
cars and you can build, you can use
and
the insulation from the fibers of the plant to create walls
mm-hmm.
and clothes. So come on, man, what are we doing? What are we talking about, really? Who are we?
Mm-hmm.
What are we teaching our children? A disease.
Right.
That's what we teach them, a disease project. Because we're not talking about the things that are relevant for our betterment today.
Gotcha. All right, so I wanted to ask you then.
Thank you, LA.
The mics are open. I don't know. Let me see. This is another person before I move it forward, because my next question to you is I want to ask you, regarding, you know, where it's at today versus 50 years ago, and also what does the future of medicine look like. But before I do that, I wanted to bring in DJ Ready Red. He's a member of the Ghetto Boys, and he's here with us today. German, are you familiar with the group, the Ghetto Boys?
Ghetto Boys.
All right, what's going on? Well, you know what?
How about my Ghetto Boys? Ghetto Boys got me through my freshman year in 1991.
Ah, well, thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Y'all making me have flashbacks of time where I used to engage heavily. And then I'm drug-free now. But you know what? When I lived in the Bay Area,
cannabis
I did see the
is not a drug.
Benefits
cannabis
of cannabis. Yeah,
not
just
a drug.
I seen, okay. I saw it firsthand. I saw. I was a boarding house director, and I was taking care of people who had cancer and other type of ailments, and that cannabis really helped. And one of my heroes that I'm really crazy about, Bruce Lee, was a big cannabis user back in the day. Man, he did that for the common effects of some things. But I just want to say I just find it very interesting how that it's being used now. And they should have known way back in the day that it is medical, man, because it's the only thing that mellow you out, keep you right, make you eat, and keeps you going, you know. And I did some of my best work, if I can go with Philo the Great, when I was making music. But then again, as creative, it's going to be there anyway. I just need to probably catch a contact so I can finish some of these great compositions I never finished, because I can't remember what I was doing to do them. But other than that, I just want to say, man, I've been listening, and I'm getting a lot of information, because I wake up every day. I have arthritis, and I've been reading about some of the benefits of medical marijuana and cannabis. And so I'm researching, and I'm finding out. But thank you for the information.
Absolutely.
You want to say anything more to that, German, before we move forward?
Yes, I would. For the brother, man, bless you, and I pray that, you know, that you overcome that immediately, and you can. Not immediately, all things take time. It's a process, but the first thing is not eating meat, not eating chicken. These are hard things for our people. I've been a, I still partake in
for
fish.
About 3 months. Man.
Okay, and you should immediately see more flexibility already.
Mm-hmm.
The next part is ensuring that you use your hand, you know, get those tendons and those neurons moving again. And the things that help reduce the inflammation for that is using coconut oil on the skin, not using the, you know, the things that were passed down, all these lotions and topicals that just dry out after 45 minutes, you know. And a hand will come back, and arthritis will, you know, set back. You know, it's a belief thing. We have healing power. It's a Wakanda effect at the same time. It's also a Turtle Island, an American effect. You know what I mean? It's knowing who we are, man. And these are things that just set in over time because we don't pay attention.
True.
So you rolled over the don't eat meat. What? Explain that for a quick sec.
I'll just say watch.
Outside the Netflix, of the obvious?
Show for What the Health. I'll just leave it at that. Netflix episode, What the Health.
Yes, that's very
And that talks about meat and its contribution and the chicken of how, you know, we already know. We know what we're doing, man. We know it. We know how we feel the next day. We know how long if we use the bathroom. We know how many times. We know how and these are just the reality. That's why I'm so real in the next part about the future of health, because it's really education, it's waste management, you know, and it's taking life one day at a time, you know, really taking that breath one day at a time.
Right. So two more questions, and then I'm gonna take a quick break. So today versus a few years ago. Can you speak to that?
With respect to what?
I asked you to submit a couple talking points, and one of your questions was, what is disease today and how is it different from 40 or from 50 years ago?
Right, I'm sorry, I missed you when you said the first part. And that's kind of what we've been talking about. What is disease? And I break it down into dis-ease. It's something that sets, it doesn't just, you don't catch it. You know what I'm saying? You can't catch it like a baseball. You know, it sets in over time. And many of us, you know, we're operating off of misinformation based on how we even define medicine. What is that? you know, and we look at the substance of how these things were derived, we, before we got into all of these synthetic products, over-the-counter, quick and fast solutions for weight loss and, you know, for all of these things, no, a new nose, a new chin, we operated based off the breath of life and based off of Mother Earth, what it yields for us. And that's what the scripture goes back to, teaching us, you know, those things that we should and shouldn't eat. And that's a big debate. But, again, that's just the scripture, too. So we have to be in search for the tree of life, which is the organic, the root substance of things, the essence of things. And a lot of what we're adopting is grown very fast and very quick, and we ingest it, we get quick, fast disease that sets in into inflammation, and it becomes inflamed, and we get on, and it's a fire that catches, it's a fire. So we get into the chakras and understanding, you know, our biological, our biome, just like the earth has a natural biome, so too does the human body. But it's something that has to be cultivated on a daily basis, not 14 days, 19 days, 21 days. You approach this life every day.
Right, right.
So that's the way I approach it. You know, I try to really make it plain, and because the things we talk about can become so philosophical, and, you know, it can go such down an academic path that the root science is one day at a time.
So what are your suggestions then? I'm sorry, I'll ask you. Finish your thought?
No, you're fine. I'm sorry.
Well, what are your suggestions? Because it was mentioned in your bio as to personalized nutrition, exercise, daily fasting. You mentioned, and a plant-based diet. Before we go to commercial, do you want to touch on that?
Yes, briefly. For the last 18 years, I've practiced intermittent fasting. I didn't even know what I was doing, but the body developed a process after I stopped eating meat and chicken and pork that became this mind-gut communication. And the body, you know, the gut is the first mind. Before the mind, the gut was formed. So your body starts to tell you what and when to eat. So I don't eat until I get rid of what I ate the day before. So it's a 10 to 12 hour practice of really working out, going about the day, and allowing the waste management to take place prior to consuming anything else. And this is one of the most vital components of anything you'll ever read about how to eat to live, because it's really about how to get rid of what you ate so you can live.
Mhm. Right. Okay, so does anybody have any questions? I got most of the lines open. Does anybody have any questions before we go to commercial break? Because when we come back, again, you listen to the American Disease Project. Phone number is 323-642-1143. When we come back, we're going to talk about the opioid crisis. So before I go to break, all mics are open. Do you guys have any questions or comments before we proceed?
It's me, L.A. Val. I do agree with the fasting situation, because I do 12-hour fasts for, actually 6-hour fasts for 21 days every 6 months. And then every 3 months, excuse me. And then I may do a 3-day fast with no sugars, no starches. But you do feel a healthier. I can see where my skin is healthier for my age. Anyhow, my hair is stronger. My nails are stronger. And you do have to look at what you're eating when he was mentioning about the green beans, the cans of green beans, it has been found that it has so much sodium in there, it's probably killing your intestines. So, you know, you would want to pay attention to what you're eating, and eating that quarter, getting those smaller plates or lesser portions of food does help quite a bit.
Amen. Okay. I couldn't have said it better. Amen.
Okay, so just real quick before we go, do you have any suggestions as to, you know, a daily routine? Any like, I don't know, nutritional things that have
yeah,
more
absolutely.
Nutritional value, or maybe a plant-based diet? What should we eat in the morning versus the afternoon? How long should we exercise? You know, different things like that before we go to break.
Yeah. I mean, and I apologize because I've been doing it so long that, you know, you take for granted God's grace and mercy, you know, in terms of the ability to heal thyself. And, you know, so if we stick to the root science of just, number one, get rid of the idea that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. That's the first thing. It's deprogram. I'm sorry. Deprogram to reprogram. And it's a simple message, but in the morning, a good warm cup of water, you know, garlic water, a little olive oil, and some coconut oil with a little vinegar. Red vinegar is good for flushing. A cup of coffee. I'm a caffeine drinker personally, despite, you know, my health consciousness. I drink my coffee, but it does something to help me break down, you know, the things that are necessary. So those things are initial, I believe, the first 2 hours when you wake up. After that, it's a flushing. You flush with water because the water is going to open up, you know, the air pockets so that the rest can release. Of that mind-body communication, you're not hungry. You just ate 8-10 hours ago. And if you ate meat, mm-hmm. it's going to take you 72 hours to get rid of it anyway. So we have to take control of our health. We got to be in a mindset that this body, I want to live, you know, as best I can. We can't take care of what, you know, the creator or other people do or what we may run into, but we can take care of ourselves. So exercise at least 2 to 3 times a week, minimum of 30 minutes. I go 2 hours, and I don't work out. I work out on an empty stomach, so I'm working out during my fasting, which allows me to tighten up, and I don't have to work out as long, I mean, in terms of durations throughout the week to get the results I want. But it's that daily consciousness. And when you eat, you can eat so much and so healthy. You got superfoods, you know, you got kale, spinach. You got all of your fruit smoothies. You got your, man, you got so much that we have yet to be exposed to that's good for the body, that gives us that whole flower manifestation due to the nutrients in it, that we don't have to survive off all this heavy stuff, man, this bloody stuff.
Right. All right, so I'm going to go to commercial break because once upon a time, this is what my grandmother said was her remedy. And I guess this was she said what kept her alive. And I'm glad that she wasn't right and that what German is saying today is a better alternative. But here we go, just for the sake of fun.
Once upon a time there was an engineer. Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear. He had an engine and he sure had fun. He used good and plenty candy to make his train run.
Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Charlie says, really rings the bell. Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
That's real silly, Val.
Yeah, do you guys remember when, you know, the BC powder and the good and plenty was the remedy? yeah, that's what my grandmother used to do. She used to...
it was the licorice. That's what it was. It was the licorice. and now they're trying to demonize licorice. Yeah, they're trying to demonize it, saying it causes cancer. But the price keep going up, like $13 a pound and stuff. So you have to look at stuff like that, too.
Right. Totally get it. Yeah, guys, welcome back to the American Disease Project. This is Valerie Denise Jones. We've got a slew of people on the line. And what we're going to do now, we're going to shift gears, and we are going to talk about the opioid crisis. And I'm going to read something that I found very, very interesting on the National Institute of Drug Abuse. And, I am going to read this. I'm going to, DJ Ready Red, I think. Hold on 1 second. So I'm going to read what I read as it relates to the crisis. I think that's what they're calling it. And this was revived just last month. And it says, every day, more than 115 people in the United States die after overdosing on opioids. The misuse of and addiction to opioids, including prescription pain relievers, heroin, synthetic opioids, such as fentanyl, is a serious national crisis that affects public health as well as social and economic welfare. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that the total economic burden, prescription opioid misuse alone, in the U.S. is $78.5 billion per year, including the cost of health care, loss, productivity, addiction treatment, and criminal injustice involvement. Now, I found this part interesting, and then I'll bring in our today's expert, German. And it says, how did this happen? In the late 1990s, pharmaceutical companies reassured the medical community that patients would not become addicted to prescription opioid pain relievers, and healthcare providers began to prescribe them at a greater rate. And it says this subsequently led to widespread diversion and misuse of these medications before it became clear that the medications could indeed be highly addictive. Opioid overdose rates began to increase. Hold on a second. I guess I'm going to have to mute the board because I don't know where that's coming from. And, so we're going to do that. But we're going to keep reading. And it says here that in 2017, more than 33,000 Americans died as a result of an opioid overdose, including prescription opioids, heroin, and fentanyl, a powerful synthetic opioid. That same year, an estimated 2 million people in the United States suffered from substance use disorders related to prescription opioid pain relievers, and 591,000 suffer from heroin use disorder, not mutually exclusive. So, German, what say you of what I just read?
What's sad is that about 10% of those numbers that reflect the results took place right here in my city, in Jacksonville, which is actually suing Big Pharma for opioids, the access to the various clinics and pain clinics that were popping up like your little gambling spots around on the corner stores with no name. They just say pain. That's the type of epidemic we have and we've had in and throughout Florida because, it's all about the money. And I think if you think about the late 1990s, that was the probably the peak of the war on drugs in terms of as well as the misinformation surrounding HIV and all of the vaccinations. So they had to definitely create a medium to produce a solution for more pain. And that's what we've been suffering from in our crisis of misinformation. And, you know, it's the same idea of our approach to food. You know, on one end, you get the disease, and on another end, you get more addiction. So if you read between the lines that you just read, it mentioned about how it was an addiction to the opioids that so-and-so led to a national crisis. It was the addiction that led to a national crisis. So we have a national crisis for heart disease, breast cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure. There's an association for every disease. This ain't nothing new. It's just affecting them more than us. The reality is, and it was the war on drugs that didn't have the same type of federal allotment of $78 billion to address crack cocaine. Marijuana then is an issue.
Right,
so
right.
We have to read between the lines of why this is all a big deal now, which leads me into the future of health and medicine and wellness. Many of us don't have access to Medicaid anymore since the administration changed, Medicare and so forth. People have to choose new options for how they're going to, you know, supplant that, those services that they depended on from those hospitals and so forth. And our cabinets, our kitchen cabinets, you know, they really have to take you have to take a different look, a different shape. If it's some white rice, some white sugar, and all of that in your kitchen cabinet, and synthetic sweets and all of these things, counting our years. We're counting down our years, I'll put it that way. And I say that not to speak down on nobody, because I come from a family that grew up, you know, with the byways and folkways of Gullah Geechee, which in the South was, you know, growing up on that good soul food, from collard greens, the hog maws, the black eyed peas, you know, the whole bit. And it was my personal journey and transformation and research and studying and, like, man, what is happening? That, you know, I think towards, you know, adopting a daily approach to a healthier lifestyle. And but it's my people who still suffer from those very same diseases, first as a result of what's taking place in the home. So the future of health and wellness, it's going to be surrounding personalized nutrition, personalized care, and it's the education, because you have the ability to heal thyself, you know. Doctors don't practice and don't take as much of the same medicinal things that they prescribe. They don't use themselves, per se, if you do the research. You know, many of them have a different philosophy behind how they approach life in terms of healing and wellness. But at the same time, most physicians pass at a lot earlier age nationwide than your average citizen. So we have to think about who we're making our maker when it comes to our, you know, daily approach. And I just feel like, you know, this is a good time to deprogram so we can reprogram.
Awesome. And I want to go on and bring in one more caller, 267-357, 267-357. Welcome to the show. You raised your hand. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, man, y'all know y'all always catch me in the baddest predicament when I'm shaking and moving. But first of all, I'm enjoying the show. And second of all, I just wanted to say what's up to my West Philadelphia brother, Omar Tyree, on the phone. I was just watching Dr. Zeppi. I don't know if y'all, I'm pretty sure the man was talking is familiar. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dr. Zeppi, and he was just talking about the things he was actually just talking about. So I just wanted to chime in and say it's good to see that people are, you know, taking their health so seriously and things of that nature. Because, like I said, I listened to Dr. Zeppi, and, you know, I don't like, they killed Dr. Zeppi. He died, but, you know, they killed him because he was teaching health. He was teaching healing with natural herbs and natural things of that nature, and curing diseases like sickle cell and cancer and all that. So I just wanted to chime in and just, you know, just get a brother some props, you know, for what he's doing, and just, you know, say what's up to y'all. That's about it.
Thank you.
Hey,
and
thanks for popping on. Good luck. Yep.
For those of you who don't know, because anytime I get an opportunity to give big ups to Dr. Sebi, I do. He was his legal name is Alfredo Darrington Bauman, better known as Dr. Sebi. He was a Honduran herbalist and self-proclaimed healer. Bauman claimed to cure all diseases with herbs and a unique vegan-based diet on various pseudoscience claims. His diet was based on the discredited alkaline diet. His beliefs on the origin of disease denied germ theory and taught that HIV is not the cause of AIDS, and factored in faux Afrocentric claims that the unique genetic characteristics of African Americans is dysphoria, diaspora. But are you familiar with who that is, German? Dr. Sebi?
Absolutely. I'm familiar with him, Dr. Lely Africa, Brother Elijah Muhammad, who wrote How to Eat and Live. You know, all of these were teachers and master teachers when it came to the science of health and wellness before their time. And many of the things that they said are true and factual. There's no debate. I think there's a time and a place for that science, though, to be made more transformational. And that's the experience that I'd like to offer, you know, to those today. Because peace and blessings, I do believe that he was taken away. He was found with $30,000 in Mexico, and before you know it, they locked him up, and then the man passed. Come on. So, you know, we're dealing with some serious issues, and but at the same time, it's what we tune in to, you know. You have to surround ourselves with consciousness at all times. That's a very tricky situation for him to be in, you know, to even be in that position. I don't know what, who, why, but I'm sure the truth is going to come out, as it always does. And, yeah, I am familiar with that brother, but, you know, I just pray that people don't look at him like we look at Martin and all of our leaders, and that's a body of knowledge that's now gone. That body of knowledge produces bodies of knowledge. You know what I mean? It's living.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who are living carbon examples, leaving footprints in our DNA so that we can transform today.
Right. Yeah,
I would like to ask a question, please, Val.
Yeah, sure.
With what's going on in Colorado, you hear the pros and the cons of it all, but do you think that the push for recreational marijuana is what's hindering the medical marijuana goals?
That's a good observation and a good question. I want you to repeat that question, though, in another way to make sure we all understand it.
Well, because there is a push as well when it comes along with the legalization of medical marijuana, then there are other groups as well that are trying to push for the recreational marijuana, which that really causes a lot of stirring up and people thinking that that's the gateway drug to the other harsher forms of medications or drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's the reason why the medical marijuana isn't going forth as quickly as it should, or is it just that the people really don't want it? I did see Liver Madness. It made me laugh.
Well, you know, again, cinema has a real effect on us, and that's what's happening. We're all watching a television show around something that we use for some of us every day, you know, in some shape, form, or fashion. And because it is for medicinal purposes, even whether you call it that or not, that's what it is. And without it, you feel some type of way, but then again, you don't, because you don't
there's no dependency or addiction to cannabis like alcohol or opioids or these other things. So in terms of legalization, we do that's more so what they call recreational for adult use. So when you think of legalization, don't think of it as, yeah, a 14 or 15-year-old can just smoke weed in Colorado and in the West Coast. It's for adult use. And that means that there are regulations, just like alcohol, for 21 and up. You can go into a dispensary, choose it, but you have to use it responsibly in terms of how you use it, where you use it, when you use it. And in terms of medical, it's, again, for those who have a medical condition. Now, as it relates to what's better, your knowledge of what you got. If you bought it from somebody and they don't even tell you what you got and you can't go to Leafly and look up the strain, then, yeah, you probably ain't getting what you think you got, which means it was grown outside in conditions that were more prone to exposure to fertilizer, to pesticides, to microbites, germs, and that's what you got. But see, medical has to be grown indoors under high regulation in a greenhouse with heat and lighting that's, you know, measurable with certain data throughout the day, and you can test all this with the systems, and boom, you got, you know, but that don't mean, too, it's better than what some people might grow outside. So the reality is, there's no impact that we should be concerned about as a people in this American Disease Project, other than how things impact us self, and it transcends to how you treat everybody else. So don't pass no bullshit to somebody else that you don't know what you got.
It's true. Yeah, that's very, very true.
There's something else. My sister, I just found out about this poke weed. My sister was telling me about how they used to go out in the fields and just pull this poke weed, and it was like a derivative of marijuana or cannabis. And Ronald Reagan had come and burned up all the fields, and she said she noticed that when everybody ate those greens during the end of the service, you know, you had dinner after service, everybody was happy and laughing and things like that, you know. But you're saying that it was probably hemp.
Well, it could have been, because some hemp, you may not even know. Again, hemp can grow beyond 0.03% THC. It still has it still has THC in it, but it doesn't have enough to give you that psycho-paranormal effect where you feel it in your cerebral and you, because you don't know what's going on, just like if you were to have a sip of wine, you may feel that way. You know, it's just, it's like comparing caffeine to decaffeine, put it that way. So, you know, certain people can't handle caffeine. But if you have a more chronic symptom, and you have more stress or pain, then you might need some caffeine as opposed to that decaffeine. And during that time that during that time that they're speaking of a process in which Homestead was created in the South, and that was a conversion process that led to all types of land being burnt down and land conversions, and people ran off their lands and people moved into the projects. The first projects in the country is right here in Jacksonville. You know, my mama used to grew up in that, those. And Durkeyville, if you know, and the Blodgett homes, you know, these are all concepts of these first so-called ghettos, but we used to live near the water, you know. We used to live near the water. Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're
so do you, are you aware?
In a few minutes.
I wanted to say one more thing.
Sure.
One more thing. Are you aware that Philip Morris is now getting out of the tobacco business and going into the marijuana business?
in order to create synthetic cannabis.
Oh, synthetic. Is that good or bad?
That's anything that's not right, it ain't right. So it's synthetic, that means it ain't right. I mean, you want organic, you want natural. So the things that they're selling in the corner stores that's making people sick, all this fake weed and stuff, you know, that's not right. And that's what now you can best believe the things that my community speak about in terms of the truth related to the plant. Whenever Big Pharma is getting into it and you got Walmart selling it and all these major corporations, you better know it's real. So you got to know what's real and what's fake.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be the ones in our community selling right down the street, and then we the ones who are telling our kids, you know, looking at them like zombies or something because we don't understand it ourselves, instead of educating them and having a conversation.
So speaking, I'm sorry, L.A., did you ask all the questions you wanted to ask?
Yes, that's it. I apologize. I do.
You're fine. No, it's better to ask the questions. You know, while we got an expert in the building, yeah, it's better to go
expert.
In and ask
them. I'm not an expert. Don't piss me off. Like,
well, you're today's expert. You're definitely today's expert. And speaking of, you know, experting, tell me again why I shouldn't call it weed before I proceed.
Well, I say that just. In all things, I think you have to offer a balance. You know, if you say weed, and you might want to interchange it with cannabis, you know, and just saying just weed, because the conversation expands when I can tell you the difference between cannabis and hemp. See, we're
gotcha.
So confused about what things are anymore. You know, we're just so used to the lazy tongue of defining things, and it's through that self-determination that we define ourselves. So I'm very cognizant about and conscious about how language is used and what people say and use. And, you know, we represent,
right.
We're representing one aspect out of the other, which is the disease.
Right. Totally. Thank you. Now, I want to ask you one last question, and I'm going to go around the board and ask the same question of a few people before we wrap here in just a few minutes. So as a cautionary note, German, my question to you is legalization a panacea? Do you really think that's the remedy for all the difficulties we're having, whether it be criminal penalty issues because of the incarceration level, because of the miseducation, because of all these things? And when you're done, I'm going to, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to read let me do this before I say this, because it is for shits and giggles. But this is why marijuana should be legal everywhere. And this is an article that they wrote it several years ago. I don't know, my screen's doing something funny. But anyway, let me tell you why, German, they think that it should be legal everywhere, okay? Americans are more in favor of legalizing marijuana than criminalizing it. It has remarkably been a successful year for marijuana legalization, with Colorado and Washington both passing laws to decriminalize the drug. Now 58% of Americans are in favor of allowing the plant to be legal. With the majority of Americans agreeing that marijuana should be legalized, we've gathered up 8 reasons why those who are still on the fence about the natural plant should possibly reconsider their feelings. And it says, number 1, no one has ever died of a marijuana overdose. Number 2, around 40% of Americans have already admitted to using the drug, the marijuana. Marijuana is much safer than already legalized drugs. Marijuana is a very low risk, has a low risk of abuse. It says cannabis can be a safe and useful sleep aid. Marijuana is used to alleviate a lot of medical ailments. So many successful people smoke marijuana. And last but not least, it's simply not a gateway drug. So, in conclusion, legalization would be a beautiful thing. Do you agree with that? I thought it was a cute article.
Absolutely. I think we should legalize the herb, you know. I mean, it's a beautiful plant, but at the same time, like, I feel like there's a lot of reprogramming misinformation, you know, redefining information that should support it, because at the same this plant can also be grown and dealt with in ways that are not conducive. If you smoke toxins, just like if you eating toxins, then you're getting toxins, you know, and there's just certain things that are better than others. But that goes to self-therapy, because you yourself have a green thumb. I think you should be able to grow it yourself. And that's the fight right now in legalization, is how is that going to be regulated? Just because we say legalize, legalize, our ass is in jail for it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
We need to issue, you know, with a basic understanding of how it would be beneficial across the board.
Right, definitely. Gosh, thank you so much, guys. Let me remind you that Shannon L., I always want to say L. Shannon, it's programming, speaking of programming, but German Shannon L. is the founder of the Cannabis Collective Media Incorporated, the CAN Experience Health and Wellness Tour, and he's a brand ambassador for the Minorities of Medical Marijuana, M4MM, a national nonprofit cannabis and industrial hemp advocacy organization focused on breaking barriers and opening doors for diversity and equity. So, again, I thank you so much for stopping by today and educating us and answering our questions and spending so much time and, you know, just being who you are, you know, doing what you do. I totally appreciate that. So at this time, if you could share your contact information, and then, like I said, I'm going to go around the board real quick. And, Omar, I'm going to get to you last because I need you to give us an update. But, yeah, you give us your contact information so that we could continue this conversation or contact you regarding, you know, whatever our needs or desires is or conversations that, you know, we feel we need to have to legalize this. I keep wanting to call it a drug, but it's not. But legalize marijuana.
Absolutely. You can use info as an email, info, I-N-F-O, at cannabis, C-A-N-N-A-B-I-S, collective with a K, .com. Info at cannabiscollective.com. Research the hashtag Cannabis Collective as well as Can Experience. Can, CANNXPERIENCE. Drop off the E, Can Experience. And basically you'll get some recent information. You'll get a body of information related to many of the things we discussed, from the endocannabinoid system, the science of cannabis, advocacy surrounding cannabis. Be sure to use hashtag M4MM. That's also related to the Minorities for Medical Marijuana Movement, which is all about social justice surrounding cannabis. And if you want to reach out to me directly by way of phone, you can get in contact with Valerie, and she'll be able to give you that contact.
Thank you. Thank you. And I did find my favorite button. Guess what? I wanted to give you an applause because, again, I appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And please make this a home. You know, when you've got updates, you need a call, reach out to me, say, hey, you know, we've got this platform, another platform on Mondays. We're pretty much a 24-hour service, and we got several hosts to accommodate you if for whatever reason, Philip or myself, we were unavailable at that time. But, yeah, thank you so much, German. I appreciate
you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, I didn't know you were so deep.
Happy to be a part of the family. I'd be happy to come on and join you at any time. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. So I don't know if you want to listen to these answers. I'm just going to pick, you know, one or two people off the board and just ask them, do you think that – you know, is legalization a panacea? So I'm going to start, ladies first. L.A., if you don't mind answering the question, and then give us your contact information. L.A., are you there? L.A.?
Okay.
All right.
Who are you waiting on?
Do you think it should be legalized? I was waiting on L.A.
Okay.
Philo, do you think
we should legalize it?
Of course. I'm down for it, of course. Not just for recreational purposes, just basically because of the all the benefits, like you said, that plant can do. So, yes, I feel like it should be legalized because it's happening anyway. It's already legal in certain states. So why not make it legal all across this nation? So, yes, I'm in support of that.
Right.
Smoke weed every day.
You want to go on and give us your contact information?
Yeah, you can reach me at the Cannabis House. No, no, for real. You can reach me at PhelotaGreat, PhelotaGreat.com. PhelotaGreat on all social media platforms. You can just Google me, but the best way to get at me is through the website, PhelotaGreat.com. Fill out the contact box, and I will be back in contact with you. So, yes, that's the best way to reach me. And I enjoyed the show. It inspired
me
to do what I do.
Right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's always good to know that we're doing great things in your network. And I am Valerie Denise Jones. My website is ValerieDeniseJones.com or 4eradio.com. Go there for more information. And as Philo mentioned, if you need to contact us, just click the button on the contact page and leave us a comment. We promise to get back to you. Other than that, right now what I'm going to do is turn this over to Omar Tyree, who is the reason this show was, I mean, it was inspired by his e-series, The American Disease. And then I put the project part on there because I turned it into a project. And here you are today. Here we are today doing what we do. But Omar Tyree, if you don't mind, we've got a new series coming out here in a few days. And, yeah, just let us know because we need to check back next Tuesday, 4 p.m., same place, same time, 323-642-1143 is the number to call. Omar Tyree, take us out.
All right, let's wrap it on up. This is a great show. I didn't have to talk much this show. I let all the doctors do their thing. But when we talk about legalization of marijuana, I'm looking at how that would benefit black people or not benefit us. I'm trying to look at what laws they would put in place because, you know, black people would buy weed all day long, smoke weed every day. You kids, you don't play with that. And we need money. And that's what this whole disease is about, keeping us away from the money. And so this time around, as opposed to alcohol, I'm looking at that and saying, okay, they trying to hold this away because they know how much that would help black people that smoke weed all day. And now you got black people doing farms with the weed thing with all kind of strands and stuff. We definitely going to come up in that one. So that's interesting to look at that. Definitely, at the end of the day, if you want to smoke weed, you're going to smoke weed. You know what I mean? Cigarettes have always been there. If you want to smoke cigarettes, you're going to smoke cigarettes. Drinking has always been there. If you want to drink, you're going to drink. So I don't think it's going to get to that point where some people are where you're thinking everybody's going to buy it. But you do have to put some kind of age limit on it because I don't want, like, 14-year-olds going in there buying up. You know what I mean? That would be a little ridiculous. But you still have to put some type of stipulations on some of that stuff so we don't have 14-year-olds at the playground and at the schoolyard smoking weed and whatnot, you know. But outside of that, it's going to happen. But I'm looking at how are black people going to be ousted out of that situation or how is it going to make it benefit us on a business level because we surely smoke it, okay? So I just want to do that. And this has been a great conversation again. We're going to keep this thing going every Tuesday. And, of course, it's based on the book that I'm working on, the second episode. The first one is called Full Blown and Fatal at Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, or wherever you buy your e-books. And the next episode coming out next week is called Survival of the Fittest. And I'm working on that episode right now. And we always going to have new music to talk about the American disease.
Thank you. All right, guys, that's it. Have a great rest of the day. Hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day. I'm tired, exhausted because of it. Yeah, but we love you to life, and please add us to your calendar. Join us next week, Tuesday, 4 p.m., 323-642-1143. We're out.
the celebrated New York Times best-selling author, journalist, director, producer, and award winner Omar Tyree, the creator of The Equation, Pecking Order, Just Say No, A Do Right Man, Single Mom, Dirty Old Men, and Fly Girl, brings us an original ebook and dramatic web series called The American Disease, available now at Amazon.com and HotLavaEntertainment.com. The American Disease by Omar Tyree. Find out who's inflicted, who's safe, who's contagious, and who's not. The American Disease by Omar Tyree at Amazon.com. Join his radio podcast every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Valerie Denise Jones.
Find out more at TheAmericanProjectDisease.com.
For more information, view TheAmericanDiseaseProject.com.